Robbie and Rex Road with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex Road on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Max Hurst. Intern Nick with us here as well on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How are we doing?
Oh, just living the dream, guys. What's up?
Well, you're living the dream as well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Corey, the Pharaoh has returned. Tom Brady is back in the NFL. I guess I'm not solely surprised that he came out of retirement based on how good he still is. But how surprised are you that he came out of retirement 2 months into retirement?
Well, you know, I was thinking about the timing of it, and doing it now is really important, obviously, because you've got free agency coming up and the draft. So the Bucks were going to have to figure something out. And I'm going to guess a phone call was made that said, hey, is there any chance you're going to come back? Because if not, we're going to do this. Because they had to do something. I mean, you know, I think Kyle Trask, Blaine Gabbert could be the worst quarterback combination in the league. I mean, that's bad. So they had to do something. And so it put him to a decision, you know, the day before the window for legal tampering began. So I think when you look at it from that perspective, I think he was put to a decision. And so it is shocking that it's so quick, but when you look at the timing of it, it's really not that shocking to me. It is shocking, though, that just 40 days later he's back. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Yes, and, you know, just got to do it when the brackets come out. But anyway.
Because the NFL just dumps on everybody's big day, always.
Right. Any other sport is having a little bit of a moment. Oh, no, here we go. Speaking of news and the NFL and quarterbacks, Corey, what do you make of the Deshaun Watson situation? Where do you think he ends up?
Well, I still think Seattle is the place. I mean, I think when Seattle opts to trade Russell Wilson, you've got to have a plan. All right. You can't just dump Russell Wilson and be like, okay, well, we'll see if we can do this or that. I mean, you can, but they've got so many assets now that they can go get him. I mean, they got more assets than anybody to go get a Deshaun Watson. And Pete Carroll is no spring chicken, okay? You know, we don't know how many more years he's going to coach. He can't be rebuilding for five more years. So I think Seattle, to me, continues to make the most sense. I understand that Carolina is supposed to be making a really aggressive play, and they're a team that I expect to as well. And somehow the Saints are in the mix. I have no idea how they're going to have any players around him, but allegedly they're in the mix.
The cap is fake, Corey.
What's that?
The cap is the fake. Cap doesn't exist. Yeah.
Well, ask Roger Saffold, and he'll tell you. But. You know, I understand the notion that the cap is fake, but the cap is there because guys get cut every year if we get into the cap. And there are consequences for the cap. I mean, we're looking at it right now with the Titans, the consequences for the cap. You know, can they be aggressive in free agency? Not really. I mean, you can, but you got to cut other people then. You know, it's just that simple. You got to cut Peter to pay Paul. That's all. And so they got to figure that out. But Deshaun Watson, you know, like I said, Seattle continues to make the most success most sense to me. But I also continue to wonder about, will he be suspended by the league? You know, just because he's not going to face criminal charges does not mean that the league won't suspend him. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott got suspended 6 games. Ben Roethlisberger got suspended. And those guys did not get criminally charged. And so I don't think it's a given that he's going to be available for all 17 this season.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, obviously NFL free agency beginning this week, legal tampering beginning today. How active do you think the Titans are going to be in free agency this week?
Well, I don't think that there'll be big first wave people. That's for sure. I mean, I just, you know, I don't know how they could be. But then again, you know, John Robinson surprised us before. So, you know, you watch and you wait and you see. But I don't think the first wave has got their name written all over it. But, you know, they need tight ends. And I don't say tight ends. They need plural. And so I think they'll do that. I think at some point, Jackrabbit Jenkins gets waived and they bring in somebody, another veteran, on a lower end deal. And so I think that'll take some time to get to. And they could bring in another experienced offensive lineman with some cap space that they've carved out or are carving out. But I don't think, you know, I don't think it's going to be, you know, a Malcolm Butler, Roger Saffold kind of year.
Yeah, and I agree with all that. I have let, just because it hasn't happened yet, let it creep into my brain. Is there a possibility they aren't going to cut Jenkins? Just because they're unsure about Farley or whatever? It seems like they have to.
There's plenty to be unsure there about, for sure. But I don't know numbers-wise how you get where you need to go. Because, you've like I said, you need tight ends, plural. You need bodies. They still haven't brought back Ola Adeney on the outside. That's a guy you would think that they would be bringing back. And you've still got to sign your whole draft class. So, I mean, they've got to carve out more space. What are the latest figures on what their numbers are? Has anybody seen that?
I have not.
Okay.
I haven't added it up, but it's like a tiny little bit of space right now by the numbers. I think
last night I was off yesterday, and I'm actually off this week for spring break, but which kills me because I love free agency. But I think last night at Sports Extra, the girls had it like 350,000 ladies, women, whatever you want to call them. Sorry. Kayla and Emily, I think they had it at 350,000, which, you know, that's not enough. And Jackrabbit would be like 7 million. And so unless, you know, they're going to announce a slew of restructures or extensions, you know, they can't get there. And so, you know, there are guys that they can restructure and or extend or, you know, whatever you want to do to do it with. But they've got to do something because they don't have enough now.
Corey, what do you think about this Preds team? Right now they're right in the thick of the playoff race. You've got three guys in Yossi, Duchesne, and Forsberg that are all going to have record-setting years for this franchise. What do you think of their chances coming down the stretch to be dangerous heading into the playoffs?
Well, I was worried a couple of weeks ago. I mean, they were kind of struggling, and they've righted the ship here, which is good to see. Because, you know, it'd be a shame if this team didn't make the playoffs with how well they've played at points this year. And I was talking with, I can't remember, I think it was Kayla yesterday, about those three guys. And we were talking about, you know, John Hines and, you know, how, you know, he came in and, you know, there were a lot of questions. And then there were a lot of questions about style of play, and it was boring. And, you know, they were going to have to win games 3-2 or 2-1. And that's not true. That's not true. I mean, he's got them playing hard. He's got them playing physical, and they're scoring goals. And he's, the point I'm making is he's getting the most out of those guys. And I don't know, going into this season, if anybody thought John Hines was the guy to get the most out of those guys, and he is, because he's getting the most out of those guys. I mean, Yossi's over a point a game. He's over 60 points. And Matt Duchesne is having one of those Matt Duchesne years that he comes up and has. And, you know, Forsberg is staying on the ice and, you know, what's his shooting percentage? Like 20%?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like shoot the puck, man. I mean, because he's a sniper. And I think that's what's been amazing to me is, you know, last year, John got the most out of the young guys. You know, it was Trennan and Janot, and he got the most out of those guys. You're like, okay, he pushed the buttons on the younger guys and got them to go. Well, now he's pushing the buttons on the older guys. And, you know, I think that's exciting to watch. And, you know, I think David's got some work to do on the third line defensive pairing, don't you, going into the postseason if they want to make that push. So that'll be interesting to see. I think, if anything, they've made the last few months of the season interesting. They're there. You know, they're in the hunt. You know, just there's a lot of good teams, and somebody's going to miss out. And so, you know, I hate to say playoffs start now, but kind of playoffs kind of start now. You got to keep getting points.
So, Corey, I just want to make sure I heard you right. You're off this week, and you're sad about it because it's free agency week, because actually it's NCAA tournament week. I just want to make sure that, you know, you didn't forget about that. Are you a college basketball hater too?
No. No, you know, I grew up loving college basketball. I grew up with baseball. I was a diehard baseball fan, and I loved college basketball. And it's just gotten away from me. And I'm all about the NFL all the time now. I do enjoy the tournament. I think the tournament is arguably the greatest sports event that there is. And I have enjoyed covering the NCAA tournament more than I've enjoyed covering probably any event. I mean, going to a venue with all those fan bases and all the buzz and the buzzer beaters and the upsets, there's not much that's better than those two. So, no, I don't hate college basketball.
That's right. Corey.
All right, you made me feel better. I feel better about it.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always. Enjoy your spring break, my friend.
All right, but I do love the NFL offseason. Have a good time.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Corey Curtis, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. We'll come back. We'll react to what Corey had to say there. Welcome your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I'll have some tickets to give away on the other side as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road jamming out to some Alan Jackson coming back in.
Didn't know it was Alan Jackson, but I kind of like it. Max, yeah. you're all over the map today. Good stuff, man.
Even I know that's Alan Jackson.
I mean, come on. Way down yonder on the Chattahoochee? What are we doing here?
Maybe if I heard the singing part, I would have known. Maybe.
Sing it, Robbie.
I can promise you the listening audience does not want to hear that. Maybe one
day. They've heard worse on this show.
Well, that's probably true. I've got some tickets to give away to see Jim Gaffigan coming up on Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, March the 30th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jim Gaffigan tickets, you'll win two of them. Coming up on Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, March the 30th, 615-737-1025. Joe, it is NFL free agency week, although, as you've pointed out, the NCAA tournament does get priority this week, I will say. I just want you to point out that I said it. It's all good.
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm gonna be counting up. I'm gonna be counting up the segments and how many we talk about college hoops and how many we talk about the NFL.
How active do you expect the Titans to be this week? What do you think John Robinson's checklist looks like this week as NFL free agency opens up?
Yeah, I mean, like Corey said, I guess, hey, look, if the Titans go out there and are big buyers and some stuff happens that they can be big buyers, or, you know, then I suppose maybe the cap is fake stuff gets some life. But I think that they're going to be secondary buyers. They're going to have to, you know, get some bargain shopping done, and that'll be it. I mean, that's where they are. They have to hit tight end for sure. Maybe I mean, another thing on the free agency front, you know, is the Ben Jones thing. There's been some centers signing for big money. So some think Ben Jones may be out there about to get some bank. I don't know. Maybe that's true. I mean, if Ben Jones is going to be, even to me, equal to what his cap hit has been, then maybe that's part of why the Titans seem to be saying goodbye to him in Indy. So that's another thing to look at, is just the Ben Jones situation. Looking at Jenkins, looking at Zach Cunningham. But as far as going on in that free agent market, I mean, it's going to be a kind of boring week, I think, for Titans fans. You know, it's certainly compared to, think of some of the last few years. I mean, John Robinson has gone big. He went big last year. Can't go big right now.
Do you find it strange that we sit here today on March 14th and Jackrabbit Jenkins has not been released yet? And, like, everybody around here has pretty much just written him off and said he's going to get cut. Like, he's going to be one of the guys that is a cap casualty just based on the number that he makes, his age, lots of different things going into it. But here he sits, and right now he's still a part of the Tennessee Titans. Do we think that changes over the next few days, or how much consideration do you think the Titans could be giving to keeping him around? And if they are, what does that tell you about how they view Caleb Farley?
I can't imagine it, and I think it'll probably happen today. So that's I'll call a shot right now. Tomorrow we'll be talking about how they did that. Is there a chance of, like, trying to get him to take a pay cut? You know, like, what's the market for Jenkins right now? I mean, again, he's getting up there, man. And he was okay last year, but he's, like, cap aside and the help it gives you, because it does, that's huge. He's also, like, to me, he's not a good enough player to warrant that number, even if you didn't have a cap issue.
Yep.
But I think it's, you know, it's a little strange. You know, it's like, why don't you just do them all at once, you know? But maybe that's it. Maybe there's some discussion about trying to reduce his, you know, his salary. Other than that, I don't see how you possibly go on. And I, you know, if by some stunning turn of events, nothing happens there. Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd have to look at it that way, right? You'd have to look at Farley and think that. But to me, how could you really know right now if Farley?
Right.
You know, all you know is he's rehabbing. And obviously, Vrabel talked in Indy about, you know, the importance of him, like, really soaking in everything, of course. You know, on the mental side of things, there's a ton of film work that can help you during these times, things like that. But how are you really going to have a feel until he gets back out on the grass? I don't know how you would. So you've got to proceed, to me, as if he's going to be competing hard to be a starter. And you do have some other pretty decent depth options as well. I mean, we've seen them, seen the Titans go there a lot. And again, Chris Jackson is one of those guys who can start and be a decent player in a situation.
Jackrabbit Jenkins is going to be 34 years old coming up in late October. So, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine him getting much better than he was this past year based on his age. So we'll see what happens on that front. Zach Cunningham, have his situation to figure out as well. Are they bringing him back at, you know, $10.5 million? Is there going to be kind of a restructure of his deal as well? Lots to figure out for the Titans over the course of the next couple of days. I'm interested to see who they snag up as a tight end. I guess I'd be surprised if they get through this entire week and there's no tight end that's been added to the roster. I'm not saying it's going to be like a huge name or anything like that, because a lot of those guys at this point are gone. But I would be surprised if they got through this week and there's no tight end added to the roster. You can say goodbye to Zach Ertz. With Brady coming back, I'd be shocked if Gronk goes anywhere other than Tampa Bay at this point. So, you know, Gesicki's already been tagged. A lot of the names that we talked about to start this conversation a couple weeks ago are no longer available to you. David Njoku on that list as well. But I would be surprised if this week comes and goes and the Titans are still in the same position they're in right now in terms of the tight end position.
That would be a really bad position to be in.
It would be.
A really bad position to be in. And I they know that. And, yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, it's two things. Two things I can't imagine happening this week. Titans keeping Jenkins, the Titans not signing a tight end. Both of those things are going to happen. If they don't, And I, so far, right after the end of the season, I did like, you know, here's my like off-season plan. I mean, it's not like it was some, it wasn't splitting atoms. A lot of it's kind of obvious, but so far it's been basically exactly what has happened. So we'll see if that can continue.
Yeah. Joe Rexroad, the soothsayer, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. It's what you listen to this show for. Only show in town is going to lay out the plan the way things are going to go.
We're the only show in town that's going to be honest. And we're going to hold the cap accountable and actually consider it a real thing that exists in the world.
That's right. Oh, man. Good stuff on that front. I'm interested to see. By the way, I heard this idea over the weekend. Let me get your thoughts on it. And this is not an idea from anybody that's has any influence on the Titans whatsoever. But a buddy threw out the idea to me of, you know, Jonnu Smith, he signed with the Patriots. Didn't go well for Jonnu Smith and the Patriots last year. They've got a whole lot of money tied up in the tight end position. What if you're the Titans, you want him back? How expensive would a trade for Jonnu Smith be? What do you think of that, Joe Rexroad?
But you can't pay him on his deal. So
it'd be very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jonnu Smith is a really good player, and I still think he's going to end up being a good signing for them. But we'll see. So, yeah, maybe they have some buyer's remorse, but, yeah, like, I mean, you can't – not only – I don't know what the trade terms would be, and maybe you could figure that out, but I don't think you can figure out paying him unless the cap does not actually exist.
That's right. By the way, Tim Boyle, back on a one-year, $2 million deal that includes $1.75 million guaranteed with the Detroit Lions. So Jared Goff, be shuddering in your boots. Tim Boyle, then now the backup quarterback again in Detroit next year. Obviously, as Ian Rappaport points out, biggest TB12 news in the last 48 hours for sure. Get out of the way, Brady. It's Tim Boyle time.
The real TB.
That's right.
Oh, boy. Roar restored.
Looks like Preston Smith is staying with the Green Bay Packers as well. So lots of NFL news going to be trickling in throughout the day and throughout the week here on the program. We'll keep you updated on all things NFL as well. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on the Tennessee Vols winning the SEC tournament for the first time since 1979. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Max Herz. Intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by Wilson County. I believe we lost Mike Wilson. We'll try to get him back on the line with us. Going to be joined shortly by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel, which, by the way, we have discovered in the break maybe the greatest Twitter cover photo of all time. Mike Wilson smiling behind the broadcast, Carl Ravitch and Jimmy Dykes yesterday. Rex Road right next to him, heavily invested into the action taking place in front of him in the SEC tourney. Nobody had a better view than you, Rex Road.
Yeah, yesterday the viewers of the SEC tournament got spared from my fat face being behind the announcers on the broadcast. But for a couple days, I was right there with Mike. I actually had a plan at one point. I had a bag of Doritos. I was going to flick a Dorito into his face so that on, but like, you know, not make it obvious it was coming from me. But then on the broadcast, he'd get all flustered.
Oh, yeah.
But I decided not to do it. But instead, he gave that goofy look on TV, and now it's a nice Twitter photo.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, how's it going? What's going on?
Good. And to be fair, the Dorito hitting me in the face would have improved my face. So I'm disappointed you did not do that, Joe.
And you would have gotten a Dorito out of it.
That's true.
Totally. And I could have had a little, nice little snack at halftime.
Well, we were just marveling over your Twitter cover photo, which may be the greatest thing I've ever seen of you smiling, and then Rex Road heavily invested on the other side as well. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it was important that it got both sides, me and Joe.
That's right. So, Mike, obviously big day for the Vols yesterday. They win the SEC tournament for the first time since 1979. They beat Kentucky again on Saturday. What do you make of the way this team is playing right now? And I know it's not the NCAA tournament, and we'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes with you. But how important was yesterday in your mind for this program?
I think it was huge because you saw the way that this team celebrated it. And what it meant, obviously, to this group, this coach, and a program that hasn't done it in so long. I mean, Joe and I have both covered Michigan State, which wins those. And I don't know that the celebration felt as large to me seeing that, because you see it happen rather regularly. But the way that celebration was really special, I thought. I thought John Fulkerson's emotion really told the story of what it meant to someone who's been in the program basically since 1979. And you got a really good picture of that just in the way that everyone went about their celebrations.
No, I agree. Look, a lot of these, like if Kentucky won it this weekend, so that would have been, what, 32 for Kentucky and 29 for all other league members ever in the history of the SEC. You know, great. Okay, all right, guys, high five. Let's go get ready for the tournament. I was struck by how much it meant to those guys. And I feel like, Mike, we talked about this some after the game because we were at the same press conference and there was some strong comments in there. But I do feel like – I almost feel like more than a lot of teams, this team – feels like it's playing for Rick Barnes, maybe in part because he took a lot of – I mean, look, I know what my comm was off Oregon State. Let's review Rick Barnes in March. It's not good. It's so much below everything else he's done as a coach. Do you get the sense that there's some of that with the Vols, that they want to shut everyone up and they want to give him these moments here late in his career?
You know, I think it's interesting because – I go back to a couple of different moments this year, and it would be that Kentucky loss, obviously the 28-point loss at Rupp, the loss at Texas, both of which seem to give this team chips on the shoulder, whatever you want to call it. Josiah James has not been the same player since that Texas shot. He has been incredible the past 6 weeks or so, and was named the all-tournament team in Tampa, obviously. And I thought there was a leadership void after Kentucky, and asked about that in a post-game press conference. And it was one of the most striking comments to me then, that Rick singled out Urosh and Jemai Meshach as the leaders of the team, as like the people who would like speak up and challenge that week. And that, to me, I was ready to write this team off. Because if your leaders are a freshman who plays 3 minutes in some games and a big man who maybe plays 8 minutes at that point, that's a really bad sign to me. This team did seem to rally around something. And I don't know whether that's Rick Barnes wanting to prove people wrong, what it is. I do think Rick factors into that. And I think, Joe, that press conference, as you mentioned, Josiah James walked into that last night and put his arm around Rick Barnes for like 5 minutes. Just kind of, he was sitting next to him as Rick answered questions and just had his hand on Rick's shoulder. And I thought that was a really tender and touching moment that does tell you how the team feels about the coach. And whether that means they're going to March for him, I don't know. But you can see a tenderness and a care that they do have for him.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Mike, what do you make of the idea of Tennessee being a 3 seed? Lots of reaction to that yesterday, obviously, on social media. I think you can make a pretty easy argument that they should be a 2 seed. What do you make of that, and what do you make of the draw for Tennessee in their side of the bracket?
Yeah, to be fair, I thought Tennessee was a 2 seed. Or in that conversation, maybe more deserving than other teams going into the conference tournaments. I thought Tennessee's resume was better than Duke and Wisconsin going into the conference tournaments, just looking at the way that those teams lined up. I'm not surprised Villanova jumped to a 2. I thought they were probably the most likely team to do so, and I thought Purdue probably had a shot to do so. It ended up only being Villanova, and Duke stayed ahead of Tennessee, so did Wisconsin, and we've made a big deal of Duke on social media in terms of the resume comparison. Wisconsin is more absurd. If you look a little bit closer at it, doesn't make a whole lot of sense that they're ahead of Tennessee in that line. But in terms of the draw, I think Tennessee getting to Indy is nice, despite the fact it's a Thursday-Saturday game. Don't know a lot about Longwood at this point. You know, hit the road pretty fast last night after Selection Sunday, so haven't had a chance to dive into that. Not a big believer in this Michigan team. It's the 11 seed. Colorado State, I think, could be a tricky matchup, but I still would like Tennessee in that. Then it gets interesting in those next rounds, or maybe you get rematches with Villanova and Arizona. I thought Villanova punked Tennessee. This is a veteran team early in the year, and obviously Arizona might be the best team in the country. So Tennessee's got, I think, a nice early draw and then a potentially challenging second weekend draw.
Yeah, as it should be. But I agree. I mean, look, I mean, some of the explanations on them getting a three, like they're, it was just like, let me just talk for a few minutes here and talking points and some words. And can you please get the camera off me? I mean, there's like really no explanation. I mean, Norlander, I don't know if you saw this, Mike, but he put out the Duke, you know, numbers and the Tennessee numbers. And it's actually absurd. He called it one of the worst misseedings in history. So, but I agree with you. I mean, I still, if I'm Tennessee looking at this bracket and it's like, okay, you can have this or you can have Duke's situation, I'm taking this. Although I'm a little, I actually disagree with you a little bit about Michigan. I actually think if Michigan beats Colorado State, just because they have those two really talented bigs, that could be interesting. But the Vols right now, I mean, they should beat any of these teams. Tell me why they will or won't make a run. What's your biggest plus? What's your biggest minus?
I think it's really stark. Tennessee has four really good guards. Kennedy Chandler was really good in Tampa. I mean, that's the best string of games to me that he's had in a while. It looks like he's really figuring it out and playing at such a high level. Santiago Vescovi obviously has had a great year. Josiah Jordan James is playing such good basketball. Zakai Ziegler's right there. To me, it's those guards, the four of them, and also the way that they play defense. I mean, those two things give Tennessee a shot to beat anyone they play. On the other side, you just mentioned the bigs. If you match up with Michigan, Tennessee doesn't have one big that it consistently counts on. I did think last night the way that John Fulkerson was the only big that played the final 9 minutes was pretty interesting. I mean, Tennessee's rolled with that small ball lineup a lot this year, but Fulkerson was right in the mix of it. But they don't have a big that they can throw it down to, score, run an offense through, go get a bucket that way. They kind of, it's a by-committee sort of group. And that's tough because if three-point shots aren't falling, they don't have a guy that they can go down to and get one like that. And that, to me, can be a detriment because when that happens, they don't score for 5 minutes. And that happens more often than it should.
Mike, how impressed were you defensively with what Tennessee did this weekend in Tampa?
You know, sitting, we got those courtside seats for the postseason here, which are different and a lot closer than what you get during the regular season. And I say that because getting that close of a look at Tennessee's communication defensively and the way that they rotated was kind of a work of art. You can see that the pride in the work that this team has put into the defense and the way that they attack opponents on it, they're playing great defense. And I thought what they did to Kentucky was really impressive. Obviously, Kentucky had their guards back. They didn't have when Tennessee beat the Wildcats at Thompson Bowling Arena. But they did a good job on those guys until probably the final 5 minutes of the game. I mean, Tennessee's guards outplayed those guys, Sevier Wheeler, Ty Washington, for basically 35 minutes of that game and made them look bad. And that's just the way that they were going at it, and it was definitely something interesting to watch.
What's your final four?
I honestly haven't made one yet because, again, yeah, you were with us, Joey.
Inexcusable, Mike. Inexcusable.
We got back at 5 a.m., man.
Did you guys went the whole way?
Yeah, we went the whole way. We're back in Knoxville. Got back at 5.
Did you drive the whole time?
I drove the first half. So I drove till about 12:30, and then Grant Ramey took over.
And then when Thelma and Louise switch spots, Louise, you sit on the other side and you fill out your bracket.
I mean, how much more do I have to teach you? At that point. Yeah, I still have lessons to learn, Joe.
We'll be able to continue the education this week in Indy.
Don't listen to him, Mike. He's just upset that you put that as your Twitter cover photo, and now that photo of him's out there. That's all it is.
I can find a worse one.
Please do.
Yeah. The camera adds 27 pounds.
Mike, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Going to be fun to see Tennessee as their run begins in the NCAA tournament coming up later this week.
Definitely. March also adds 27 pounds, Joe.
That's true.
Yeah. So 54. That's my math. Thank you. Thanks, Mike.
Mike Wilson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what Mike had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The Vols win the SEC tourney for the first time since 1979. What do you think about that, Tennessee fans? How much do you care? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
On February 15th in your locker room, this gentleman right here said, I want you guys to know you are national championship contenders. What was that moment for this unit?
That started all in the summer. We knew once we got this special group together that we had a chance to be special. We had a chance to be national champions. That was just the first time y'all heard it. We've been hearing that, preaching that all summer. But it means the world. To have somebody like this, a Hall of Fame head coach, to have that much faith in us, means the world.
That was Josiah Jordan James after the Vols win the SEC title for the first time since 1979. Talking about this is the team that has a chance to win a national championship. Joe Rexrow, what did you think of that? That response there from Josiah Jordan James.
Yeah, there's been you know, talk of that. And hey, you should shoot high. Kenny Chandler talked about it quite a bit over the weekend. By the way, Marty Smith doing a lot of sideline reporting, I'm noticing.
Yeah,
a lot of sideline reporting, a lot of very enthusiastic interviews from Marty Smith.
There was. That was an enthusiastic question from Marty Smith.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, the Vols, they think they can get there. I'm not sure I disagree. I am I'm totally bought in, man. And, you know, every year there are teams that come into this. I am sometimes nervous about the hot team,
yep,
and also about abandoning the cold team, right? Or the team, you know, Auburn stunk it up for a game in the SEC tournament. Okay. I still think Auburn, well, Auburn's really interesting because, like, their guards, as long as they don't get in the way, they can really go deep, but they might get in the way. But you know how it is. It's like Iowa and Tennessee. I picked them both in my Final Four. They're both red hot. They both won their conference tournaments. Sometimes I try to avoid that stuff.
Yeah.
This year, I guess I'm just going to jump aboard. Because there are teams that are hot, that stay hot, because they're just playing really good basketball. And that's what I think Tennessee is. I don't think this is – I mean, I think that they've really found some things that consistently work for them. And like Mike said, I think he put it really well there. It is very impressive from up close to watch them on defense, switching – communicating on ball screens, feathering, whatever they're doing on a particular ball screen defense action, and then helping, being in the gaps. I mean, Josiah James covers so much ground. You know, it was a 9-point game yesterday, and Texas A&M got to the rim, and he comes help side and gets a block right at the rim. And that was basically the end of it. Then they go out. I don't remember what the next bucket was, but all of a sudden it goes back to 15, 16, and it's over. You know, they get to 7 there. Yeah. You know, a little bit of pressure, a little bit of life for Texas A&M. Josiah James covers so much ground, guards anyone. He really can guard anyone. He switched on to, like, Wheeler. Okay, he's fine. Jackson for Texas A&M. Okay, it does. Like, and then he can go out there and he can hang with a bigger guy too. So they have the pieces and then they have the communication, and that's really where their excellence starts. And I am big on – I'd like their offensive efficiency to be a little higher, and – they could lose here because they have a 5-minute drought that just dooms them.
Yep.
They get into, like yesterday, where it's like it's just jumpers galore, and you want them to still touch the paint. However you can touch the paint more often. But their defense is absolutely legitimate.
Well, we've talked about, obviously, this was a huge moment for the team yesterday. I mean, Fulkerson was emotional. They were celebrating really hard yesterday after winning the tournament. You know, Rick Barnes was happy. You're cutting down the nets, all these things. We know how big this was for the team. How big was yesterday for a Tennessee fan in your mind? We know what Tennessee fans have watched and have at times suffered through over the course of the past decade, both in football and basketball, really whatever you want to take it. How big of a day was yesterday for Tennessee fans and that fan base in your mind?
Well, first of all, I was impressed with Tennessee fans. You know, Kentucky does what Kentucky does, and they dominated. Coming in the tournament, like, Auburn was making this – I guess Auburn fans have tried to make this huge deal. Like, we're a blue blood now. I didn't even know about all this stuff, but they've been doing all this stuff. So they always, like, tag the official account of the team they just beat with, like, these – Bruce Pearl laser memes, and it's like 5,000 in a row or something. You know, these are the things you find out at the SEC tournament. So
these
they're on this
have a
whole
lot going on, Joe.
Yeah.
A lot going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they were trying to, it was like, you know, we're going to have the most people. And Cal Perry I think it was that after the Vanderbilt win? He was like, what, Auburn said they're gonna have more people here? What are they on? Crack? Calipari.
I'll give him that one. That was funny.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But I was impressed. Tennessee fans, I'd say, had a good 30% of that crowd. So they're still more than doubled up. But that's a good presence in Florida. And then yesterday, I was like, is anyone actually going to, like, come down last minute? If it was in Nashville, of course. People are going to drive up, right? You packed the place yesterday. Why wouldn't you for an SEC championship game? But I was like, who's coming to Florida? But I heard that, like, flights to Tampa were all, like, locked up on Saturday from Nashville and Knoxville, and there were, I think, 2,000-3,000 more people showed up than were there Saturday, and they had a really good presence. I mean, it was like maybe like 8,000 Tennessee fans, and like there were like maybe half of Texas A&M's parents were there, not the full parent, and then like 100 Kentucky fans who stayed to drink. Shout out Michelle Knezovic. So it was a home game after really playing a road game the day before, and I think Tennessee fans should be very excited, and it's wild to think about 43 years, 1979. They've just been famously bad in this tournament, you know? Yep. So it's another – one thing, it's another – I mean, Rick Barnes, you know, this program is – it's never been this, I think, healthy from all aspects. Because remember, Bruce Pearl won, and also you wondered – week to week, who may be suspended or this and that, you know, I mean, this is the healthiest it's been. And now you have another banner you can hang. And I also get any trepidation. You're afraid to totally buy in and have your heart broken, but that's what's great about this tournament. May as well just jump all in here.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Michelle from Tampa, who wants to discuss the 2022 SEC champion Tennessee Volunteers. Michelle, welcome in.
Hello, fellas. I am calling in to eat my crow right now and say congratulations to the Tennessee Vols for winning the SEC tournament. I figured it was only right. I couldn't go ghost on this Monday.
This is a big moment for you.
This is very a big classy moment. Listen, I woke up about 45 minutes ago. We turned the show on, and I heard you guys talking about it, and I was like, okay, I can't go ghost on this Monday. The vacation day was booked way before.
It was.
I knew any of the outcomes. So I needed to call. I needed to say, believe me, Twitter's been all over me. I need to call and say congratulations to the Orange. But it was a pretty awesome moment. We got to watch the end of the game on the TV or whatever. So I just wanted to call and say congratulations. And this is a big moment for the show.
It is a big moment for the show. No question about it. We appreciate you calling in. Did you at least have a good time this weekend in Tampa? I know that the game didn't go the way you wanted it to, but did you have a good time?
Listen, I think the game just gave me more stress. And once it was over and I knew that Kentucky lost, I could finally breathe. And I'm like, okay, thank God that's over, because that game was just so god-awful to watch on my end. And I'm like, okay, now I can have a fun vacation. And then I was like, okay, Tennessee's going to win. I figured they'd beat A&M. And then when I saw the game, I'm like, okay, now I can start to, you know, just accept the fact that we lost, they won. And I'll be all set to be back tomorrow. And I had a great time, and I'm going to go to the beach right now.
It's hard to beat
nice
that. Hard to beat that. Michelle, we appreciate you calling in. Have a good rest of your day off. We'll see you here in the morning.
See you guys tomorrow.
Hey, Michelle, real quick, you know what this means? This means Robbie can't make any more Cal NIT cracks, I think. I think this show of class,
yeah, I think I'm done.
I think it's only fair for at least like a couple weeks.
That. We're classy here on Robbie and Rex Road.
We'll see you in the national title.
I'll see you there.
Hey, go, when you get a chance, go check out my Final Four picks.
I think you'll probably like it.
Ooh, I would love to see that. Okay, bye, guys.
All right, see
you. See ya.
Did she end her call there by saying, go Vols? This is a big moment on the show.
She did. I interrupted, you know, and I should have just let it sit there and let everybody soak it in. She did say go Vols. She did not say GBO, though.
She did not. I don't say that either.
She does not claim to be a VFL also.
You want to talk about two things that get on my nerves? There's two right there. I don't know who started the VFL stuff. Was it Butch? Did Butch do this?
No, I think VFL was Dooley, right?
It may have been. Either way.
Another wonderful contribution from Derek Dooley. Yeah,
really just piling up out there from Derek Dooley. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, Rob from Clarksville texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. No one's talking about the best thing yesterday. Mid-major Mike is gone. Go Gators. This is coming from Rob from Clarksville. Shout out to Georgia. Congratulations to Mike White.
Now he's about to flip that rivalry upside down on you, buddy. Don't get too happy.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland. We'll get his thoughts on a wild weekend in the world of sports. A couple of big games for the Predators as well. All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.